What a wonderful service so far. So I'm going to start a series that God's been dealing with me about. And the first title that came to mind when thinking about this was simply Get In. And I was thinking about the phrases that uses that word in the Bible that we hear a lot about that sometimes seems to be a wee bit confusing to some people, rightfully so. In the kingdom or in the spirit, walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the spirit, what does that mean? How do you do that? How does that apply to us? In love, in unity, and today, in the name, bless you, in the name of Jesus, what exactly does that mean? And how does that apply to our life? In the name. Are you ready? We're going to start in Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. And I'll tell you, hey, do you know why they don't make bridges and give them the name of Chuck Norris? Because nobody crosses Chuck Norris. Hey, for reading purposes, can we turn the lights to 3, please? I asked my grandpa one time when I was a little kid, and I said, Grandpa, I think it's so awesome that you call Grandma Sweetie and Honey Pie and all of these little pet names. I think that's so awesome that you do that. And he leaned down to me and said, well, buddy, I got to be honest with you. Don't tell Grandma this, but I forgot her name 5 years ago, and I'm afraid to ask. Names were important in the Old Testament and even the New Testament days, and the Jewish, and in not only in the Jewish culture, but in a lot of cultures, names were very important. The Jewish people actually thought that in order to know someone, to truly know someone, you're going to have to know their name to truly know them. Often the name, a name was given to a child to reflect a characteristic or a trait that mom and dad hoped that they would have. Some of you are thinking, I should have done that and called my child Calm Down or something. They named a characteristic that they hoped that they would have. And many times, as we read in the New Testament and Old Testament as well, even as an adult, names were changed to reflect a certain type of personality or characteristic. Let's go to Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, talking about in the name of Jesus. That phrase, what does that mean? How does that apply to our life? Hebrews 1, 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, or in the person of the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, or in the person of his Son. He's basically saying in the olden times when there were prophets, that's how God talked to them, and now God talks to us through his Son. Who? His Son. Jesus, he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Think about that phrase. I love that. He was the exact representation of his nature. And upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. I want you to get that in your heads too. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. In Philippians 2, 8 through 11. Let's read this. Being found in appearance as a man, talking about Jesus again, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself. 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. We sang that in one of our songs today. The name which is above every name was bestowed upon Jesus. Above comes from this Greek word, sounds like hooper, and it's superior, beyond, over. It is like a position. His name isn't just a word that we call our Savior. His name is like a position. Verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, not just a phrase, but a position of authority and power. What we seem to be seeing from these scriptures is that this phrase has a far greater meaning than simply, like I said, a word that we call our Savior. Now, I want to say this up front too. My goal today, and I think when I say my goal, this is a lesson that God is teaching me as well. And I think he wants us to hear this. But my goal today is not to change how you pray verbally. What I hope to happen today is that we change how we think about the authority and the power of our prayer. Okay? Colossians 3:17. A lot of times what I try to do is I try to paint a picture and get in your heart and in your mind what God is saying about a certain topic. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. One translation read this way, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. I believe operating in the name of Jesus is operating as a representative of Jesus on this earth. It's a position of power and authority, just like Jesus had. And I believe that we're going to read scriptures today that will help us realize that this phrase, in the name of Jesus, is not just a phrase to be used at the end of a prayer like a liturgical habit, but rather operating in the name of Jesus is a position of partnership with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to impact this world for the kingdom of God. Right? Did you get all that? A position of partnership to impact this world with the kingdom of God. I have a list of experiences that were in the Bible that are accompanied by the phrase in the name of Jesus or something close to it. And I've got the whole list there. I've got scriptures on my notes that you can grab from one of the tables out front, or you can go to YouVersion and get my notes as well. But I'll just run through them real quick. People gathered in his name. You have life in his name. Salvation in his name. Baptized. Healing. Answered prayers. There are signs. You drive out demons. You heal the sick. Raise the dead. Teach in his name. Speak in his name. Healing. Preach. Paul risked his life for his name. Every knee bows to his name. Everything you do, in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus. Let's read this, Matthew 18:5. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now, notice these phrases, these scriptures, are actions. They're operations that include some sort of power, some sort of authority, and love. Okay? In the name of Jesus is how these things is like an operation. It's like this position of partnership, a position of power and authority. This signifies, I believe, that the phrase has far greater implications than we give to it if we have purposed it solely as a closing for our prayer. Right? Now remember, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't pray and end a prayer with "in the name of Jesus." I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we need to think about what we're saying and how powerful that phrase is. But, as a matter of fact, not one prayer recorded in the Bible actually ends with the phrase, "and I pray in the name of Jesus, amen." Jesus did not perform miracles stating, "and I be healed in the name of me." Be healed in the name of Jesus. Rise in the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't actually verbalize that phrase either. And you may say, well, of course not. I mean, he's the guy. He's Jesus. He's actually the one that's actually doing the work and doing the healing. Of course he didn't, you know, use his name. And I'm like, exactly. Hold that thought. Now, I want you to think about something with me. Do you remember Jesus and his disciples went across into the area of Decapolis, into the cemetery in Gadarenes, where this crazy guy was running around possessed of devils and tormenting people and all that kind of stuff. And when they saw Jesus, these demons, they recognized him, right? They said, "I've seen your face on TV. You've been on Channel 4, haven't you? You're on that commercial." No. They didn't recognize his face, did they? But they recognized him. They knew who he was in the spirit realm. They recognized him spiritually. They'd never seen him that we know of. They've never seen Jesus' fleshly face. As a matter of fact, several times in the Bible we read about the spiritual realm recognizing Jesus, recognizing his spirit. And it wasn't because of his famous physical face. But actually, Jesus held a position of power, the highest position in ultimate authority in the spiritual realm. Of course they recognized Jesus. He had the highest name. He was above everything. Remember, we read it. Jesus had a more excellent name. Jesus was the name, had a name above all names. He was the supreme being in the spiritual realm. Of course, the demons recognize Jesus regardless of what body he's in, correct? So then we go to John 14:20, when Jesus says this, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." Jesus is in the Father, Jesus is in me, and I am in Jesus. I'm part Jesus. Right? You're part Jesus. No wonder we look so much alike. Is it not likely then that they, the demons in the spiritual realm, recognize you in the same way because of the spirit that dwells in you? I mean, we've already clearly established that Christ is in me and I am in Christ. I'm a representative. Paul calls it an ambassador for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Here's the question isn't really, do the demons recognize me in my given position of authority and power? The question really should be, do I recognize me and my position of power and authority by partnering with Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of me? Do I realize that? Do you realize that when you say that phrase, "in the name of Jesus"? When we operate in the name of Jesus? I believe Paul did in Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. In the spirit realm, they're going to recognize the spirit of Jesus, and then they're going to recognize the spirit of Jesus that's in me, because it's the same spirit. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, they may not know my name. The demons may not say, oh, there comes Jeff. I don't know that for sure. Doesn't really matter, because Jeff isn't that great of a dude anyway. On his own, he can't do a whole lot. Right? But the demons know good and well the spiritual realm. Angels, demons, everybody in the spiritual realm, they know good and well who lives on the inside of me. Because they know that that someone that lives on the inside of me holds the highest position in the entire spiritual realm. A more excellent name, a name above all names, the name of Jesus is here. They recognize that. We need to recognize that and possibly strut around a little bit with that type of authority and power. You see, when it says do everything in the name of Jesus, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean that when I walk across the stage, I need to say the phrase, I'm walking in the name of Jesus. That means in my spirit, I have this attitude of assurance that I'm not acting on my own, that I have the very Spirit of God living within me that is above everything else in the spiritual realm. And I have that. I share that position of power and authority with Jesus Christ. It's kind of like the police officer when he operates in the name of the law. He's operating. He holds that position of authority and power because the law, the government, granted him that responsibility. God has granted us that responsibility as representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth, hence giving us a position of power and authority. Think about this. Did you realize that even God operates in the name of Jesus? John 14:26. Jesus talking to his disciples again, a lot in John 14, but here's what he says, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Question, why does God need to send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus? See, I realize why I have to use the name of Jesus, because like I said, I've not got any supernatural special powers on my own. Everything I do, my life, my salvation, the way I think, and my health and things like that, that all has to be done in the name of Jesus, because I have no powers on my own. But why does God have this operation in the name of Jesus also? And I ask him that, and then it come to me. Because of man's sin, choice to sin, separating us from God, Jesus then becomes the only salvation that man has. Jesus becomes the filler in the gap between God and man. Jesus is the only reason that we have been reconciled to our Father God. So even God will have to send us his Spirit through the position of Jesus. Because it's only because of Jesus that we can be linked and reconciled with God. How about that? Now, the reason that's interesting is because think of the implications of that. Think of the power of the name of Jesus. It's only because the name of Jesus that we can even speak to God. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Realize the authority and the power that resides in you, and we can operate in the name of Jesus. I think that when we use this phrase outside of its intended purpose, we risk the danger of diminishing its relevancy until it's simply a phrase that means, okay, this prayer is now over and we can eat. Right? It becomes a habit. And you know what? I know a guy that's got two thumbs and is very guilty of that. And I use that phrase a lot. Now, in studying this message, God stepping on my toes because I use this phrase too much. I use it out of habit, and I forget what it truly means. And it's really, in biblical terms, it's not just a phrase to be stated at a prayer. You can. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying we need to realize that our operation, everything we do, John says, needs to be done in the name of Jesus. Not saying the phrase, but this attitude of knowing the position when we partner with Jesus to make changes in our physical world because we now have access to spiritual power and authority. Man, that's cool. Come on, that's great. Is that good? I'm not bragging. I didn't come up with it, right? It's not my deal. I believe also in talking about if we use it outside of its intended purpose, if we operate outside of God's will or this authority that God has given us, the phrase will become meaningless. Remember, James 5:16 says, the prayers of a righteous man avail much. And so my question is, what about the prayers of a not-so-righteous guy? Will those prayers avail much? Probably not. Now, what if that guy says, ends his prayer with, in the name of Jesus? Not so much. See, it must not be the phrase that makes him righteous or his prayers successful, right? But really, it's the assurance of a title of authority in the spiritual realm that accomplishes changes on this earth. It's not the phrase that makes you righteous. It's not the phrase that makes your prayers successful. It's operating obediently in the position as a representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. I operate in the name of Jesus without ever vocalizing it. I can pray in the name of Jesus without ever vocalizing that phrase. Now, is it wrong or incorrect to say that phrase in a prayer or to end your prayer with that phrase? And I would say absolutely not. Peter used it when he healed the guy, the crippled guy, at the gate, beautiful gate. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. So I'm not saying that it's bad. But if we begin to use it in a way that it begins to lose its value in our operation, then really it just becomes a waste of the most powerful force in this world. In the name of Jesus. Think about that power and that authority. It's It's mind-boggling, or boggling, whichever one you want to. God wants you to learn to use that for the kingdom of God. No demon ever stood up successfully to Jesus. That Jesus that's in you. In that name, lives were changed. Eternities were altered. People were healed. Blind could see. The dead rose to life. People were loved in a way that they had never been loved before because someone operated in the name of Jesus as a representative of Jesus on this earth, partnering with Him to love people. That's in the name of Jesus. Jesus operated in such a way, get this, as to supernaturally alter physical circumstances because of the position He held in the spirit realm. If He lives in you, you partner with Him in that position. That's why we can lay hands on people and they will be healed. The Bible says that. You can lay hands on people and they will be healed. Because you have a special power, because of the special power that has you. Amen? John 14:13-14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That's a partnership. Now remember, the goal is not to change how you pray verbally, but to change how you think about the authority and the power of your prayer. Remember, you have a right and actually a responsibility to act as a representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. Operating in that capacity as a representative of Jesus is operating in the name of Jesus. And there is no greater power known to man or spirit being. You have to realize it. You have to realize that before you can believe it. You have to believe it before you can live it out. So my challenge to you this week, realize it. What does that phrase mean to you? Don't let it be just a phrase. Go ahead and say it if you want, that's okay. But don't let it be just a phrase. Let it be an attitude. Let it be a way of life. Let it be how you act and operate as a representative of Jesus. Realize it, believe it, and then operate in the name of Jesus. Will you stand with me, please?